Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here with so much on my mind, so much going on, trying to decipher rumor, speculation, solid information, which is just all over the place, just to get you the latest and greatest in geek news. We are sponsored by Suzy Q's, who is one of the most talented jewelers on the planet, a licensed blacksmith, and willing to sell you her creative wares. Go over to SuzyQ's.com. It's not too late to try and slip in under the Christmas wire to pick up something snazzy. Gift cards are also available if you're not bold enough to take that step, but you know there's something that they would like. Definitely go hit up Suzy. You can also follow her on Instagram, Facebook. Suzy's just a little pleasant ray of sunshine for you. For everyone, actually. Suzy's just so pleasant. Anyway, she is one that has suffered from the con fallout. Normally, Suzy does a lot of cons, same as me, to sell her particular creations. And without the cons and everything just going kablooey, she's had to rethink her strategies. So help her out. Help me out. Go and purchase something from her. Give us a like, a share. Thank you for tuning in yet again this week to what's going on. And there is a lot. I mean, so Brett Leader One and I were contemplating the con situation as it is, and we are thinking that we may not have an actual con till the end of summer, because there is just so much going on. And this is probably a little bit of a rehash from last week's episode, but it's just, I mean, the realization just kind of starts to settle in a little bit. So we'll wait and see what happens. No further developments on the Denver Comic Con Pulp Con Classroom. Blah. Anyway, Denver Comic Con Pop Culture Classroom. There we go. Is in need of donations and help and assistance. Without the con, which is pretty much the source of their revenue and income, they are looking at a very different future. For community outreach and helping inspire children and creatives with pop culture, creating comics, art, all you name it. They do a lot for the community. If you can find it in your budget, in your heart, please go and make a donation to them, because I know without the con, we were thinking about it, because if they lose 2021, that's a huge kick to the mid region. So I don't know what that does for 2022, how they're going to get reestablished, how they're going to get guests. I mean, usually most of the time right now, Denver Comic Con will have made a major announcement or tickets have gone on sale for guests and all of that. But without that, there is no influx of revenue for them. So we'll see what happens. Colorado Springs is another one that would be the next con, along with Starfest, which hasn't announced anyone yet. I think we're just waiting to see what happens. So as these cons announce or dip out or postpone, I'll let you guys know. But at this current moment, yikes, I don't think I'm going to have a con till the end of summer. That just hurts my fail bads. What am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a whole new kind of podcast. Keep an eye out. Met with the team this weekend. It went really well. We've got some great stuff coming for you guys in the beginning of 2021. If we can't go to a con, we'll just make our own, damn it. Or so we're thinking. We may be totally off base. Who knows? But nonetheless, we're hoping that it'll entertain and enthrall you. So we're excited to start working on it. You'll see it soon. And a couple of other new things. Something to mix it up as the movies are kind of in flux with what's happening. I don't know. I mean, Wonder Woman, of course, we'll have a meat and potatoes review of that. That's, you know, just before Christmas. So that's kind of like the big film. But when this whole, like, last week, DC, excuse me, we'll get to DC, Disney did this massive freaking bomb drop on everybody with trailers, with what's going on for their plans, their outlines for 2021, and their, I think it's kind of shooting in the sky, kind of, we'll hope this works. So I'm going to go over a few of the standouts. We'll start with Marvel, just because it's a little bit easier, and it seems like Marvel's got a little bit more solidified, and then I'll slip over to the Star Wars side of what Disney had to say. So what Disney does is they hold this press conference, kind of investors summit of, here's the state of the union, here's what we're planning. It's almost as, actually I'm going to say it's more epic than E3 now, because the what DC or Disney puts into this, I don't know why I keep saying DC, what Disney keeps putting into this is just the whole excitement, and let's do some unveiling, let's show you what we've got behind the curtain in all of that. So we'll start with Marvel, which isn't as choppy as I had thought, but it kind of is. So what we end up looking at for the standpoint of projects is kind of, I don't know. So I'm excited for some of it. Some of it I'm going to be kind of like, I'm not all too on board with. So, I mean, we already know about WandaVision. We already know about Falcon and Snowman. The trailer for Loki looked absolutely stellar. In fact, of the ones that I've named so far, I think Loki shows the most promise. And I've got theories both for Loki and for Scarlet Witch and or Vision, WandaVision. So WandaVision, I honestly think will be fun and it'll be interesting, but I have a feeling that either Wanda has kind of created her own reality or is in hell. There was, it's hard to explain, but I just got this feeling she's in hell, and I swear when I'm watching the trailer that Mephisto is kind of floating around in the background. So this may be kind of the hint at it. I don't know, but if that's the case, that kind of changes the whole idea behind WandaVision. But then when I'm watching Loki, which looks awesome, I start getting the feeling of like the Mojoverse. So as I'm watching this, I'm curious and I want to see how this evolves, because there's like two kind of theories that I've been kicking around, and I think they're more hopeful aspirations versus what the true reality is. But right now it's just kind of fun to speculate and kind of share my ideas with you. So with WandaVision, yeah, it's probably hell. She's dealing with Mephisto on some level, or she's put herself in her own hell based on losing Vision. Especially when you see the soul gem explode, and who knows what kind of repercussions or what basically was escaped the soul gem. Because in the comics, the Soul Gem has its own reality and its own little world. And different monsters, creatures, people are trapped within the Soul Gem. And they kind of, when they were talking about this in the movie, they kind of made it sound like, you know, out of all the gems, the Soul Gem is the most sacred and protected of the gems. And you have to give a soul to get a soul. So how many souls were given to get the Soul Gem prior? So I'm kind of curious if this may play into some of that and is fallout from that element of the movie. So it's kind of a curious thing, and it may not have any play into it, but it's just kind of fun to think about. Is she in Soul World? Is she somehow trapped in this weird makeshift reality? Is she in hell with Mephisto, or is she just punishing herself with her reality warping powers that we really never saw in the movie but are very prevalent in the comics, because she's probably the single most powerful mutant on the planet, at least in the top five, in my opinion, especially when, you know, you think of, like, House of M wipes out every mutant on the planet with the exception of, like, you know, a few hundred. So there are some great potentials right there. And she's brought Vision back from the dead before, of course, just to have them kill him off, which there is no love for Vision, I'll tell you that. No Vision on this stage. No, none whatsoever. Can't see past the riser. So my other thought, and as I'm watching this kind of unfold, and watching the Loki trailer, I'm really starting to get kind of like a Mojoverse vibe, and it would be kind of fun. I mean, we didn't see anything that would indicate that Mojo's around, but just kind of like how we're cutting from scene to scene with, you know, like movies. It really honestly felt like clip from clip was just another movie or another series or something like that, and it just seemed to fit so well for what I know the Mojoverse to be, which I think would be kind of fun. But then, of course, on the other side, I've also thought maybe Murder World, and we're trying to bring Arcade into it. But Arcade has no business being in any aspect of Loki's universe at this point, and no one's going to hire Arcade to kill Loki, especially when he's escaping with the Tesseract. So as much as I really love that thought, and I was on that one for a while, it starts to thin out. But the Mojoverse still kind of holds true, and Owen Wilson, I think, would make an excellent majordomo. I really do. Just as how, you know, sarcastic that he has been in the past, and just even the trailer with him just kind of needling Loki, it just kind of seemed to fit, especially with the cutscenes and all of that. It would work. But of course, then in the trailer we get the Bifrost, so I'm not sure how that plays into it. So where that brings in the question of where we are in the timeline as far as the films are concerned. So Ragnarok hasn't happened, and it is the Loki from the first Avengers film, so he wouldn't even know about his own passing. He wouldn't know a lot of things. So it kind of raises a lot of eyebrows as far as how they want to approach this. I personally want Loki. I personally want Mojoverse. That would be so awesome. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. So those are the two, like, big standouts that we saw as far as the trailers. You do get kind of the sense of this is great with Winter Soldier and Falcon. I know I make fun of it a lot. It looks like it'll be an entertaining little buddy romp, but I don't know. I'm Flag Smasher, not a bad villain, but not one that I probably would have picked for them as far as, like, their first go. But I don't know. Both characters, I mean, Winter Soldier could probably support more than a story more than Falcon, in my opinion. I've never been a big Falcon fan. But he's always been, you know, a great support character for Cap. So how that all breaks out is it remains to be seen. I don't know. I don't have those answers. I wish I did, because that would make my job so much easier. Also in trailers that landed for Marvel was the big What If. Now, this looks to be an animated series that's going to be on Disney Plus, and yeah, okay, this looks really above any expectation that I had originally thought. Because when that's the problem with these press conference massive releases, is that you get this influx of nonsense, and it's trying to decipher, okay, where does this fit? And, you know, you want to know what to expect, and What If has just been kind of floating out there now for a couple of these with no real kind of gists of what to expect. So we get a trailer, we get some Marvel zombies in there, we get, I mean, the trailer is insane. And you know what? It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect for getting your Marvel fix without any special tie to what's going on in the Marvelverse. You can just tell some cool independent stories this way, especially the Marvel zombies, which is still kind of a fun little guilty pleasure in the comic side when, you know, you get to see who's dying, who's, you know, barely getting by, and who's already been turned. So it is still kind of like a fun little trip just to kind of see who lasts the longest type of thing. So the what ifs, probably one of the bigger surprises for me. There have been images that have leaked over on the Hawkeye side with bringing his daughter along and all of that, but there really hasn't been any solid footage or anything released from Eclipse side. And, you know, that's actually I'm fine with that, to be honest with you. I mean, I've always felt that Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye deserved his own series, I guess, his own film, but I wasn't upset that we didn't get it. And I wouldn't mind, actually, if they did kind of a page from the comics and created or tried to venture down the West Coast Avengers avenue. You know, Hawkeye takes the family, heads west, you know, puts some distance between him and the rest of the Avengers and does his own thing. We could finally get, you know, Wonder Man, which has been, you know, kind of hinted at. We can get a different Iron Man suit. We can get, you know, a couple. Tigra could finally be kind of brought in. So there would be some different avenues that this could open up to, and maybe that's, or they're thinking Young Avengers, and we're going to get Iron Lad or Iron Heart, or, I mean, there's so many different ways that this can go. But without actually seeing a trailer and all of that, it's hard to say. This, for all we know, could be just Marvel's attempt at Stargirl. So, I mean, if it's written as well, I'm okay with that, but we'll see what they pull. The other thing that kind of caught my eye, because you've got, like, what was it? I mean, you've got She-Hulk, which, okay, that's fine. I know they're still kind of working on that. And Mark Ruffalo has been rumored about coming and joining and all of that. But the one that really caught my eye was Armor Wars from the film side of it. Because this is probably, I mean, you've got X-Men and, you know, the Phoenix saga, but what do you look at when you're seeing Iron Man and what are his most pinnacle stories? So, right away, of course, you know, the alcoholic story where Obadiah Stane takes over Stark's company, and, I mean, it's just an amazing series in the comics. The art is spectacular. I mean, there's that one cover where, you know, Tony's on the front just totally looking disheveled. And we get that kind of hinted at in the second Iron Man and, you know, his partying and all of that, which is fine. It's nothing nearly as drastic as we see in the comics. But Armor Wars is like, Tony goes on this crusade to bring in all of his technology that has been stolen. We get the Guardsman, which he completely neutralizes. We get Ghost, which was kind of fun. I know Beetle is in there, which I would love to see a Beetle. Beetle is probably one of the most underrated villains, in my opinion. And I know I said it. Don't at me, but I think the Beetle is spectacular. I love the Beetle. And I think the approach of him in the Spider-Man cartoons is perfect, but I would really enjoy just seeing him show up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And this may do that. I mean, we get kind of like a little hint with Iron Man 2 with Whiplash, with Mickey Rourke playing Mick Rourke. Always mess up his name. As Whiplash, which was, you know what? I think the interpretation of that character, it was really well done. Considering the source material and how does that translate, you know, a guy with a whip. Who cares? You're in armor. So how they translated that over to make him as lethal as he was, is his was really well done. So to see them actually focus in on Armor Wars and Don Cheadle continuing as War Machine totally makes sense, especially if he's trying to carry on, you know, Tony's legacy, trying to maintain, you know, the sanctum of Iron Man and not to let Tony's inventions get out there. Maybe we'll see a return of Justin Hammer, because that, I think, would really be kind of a fun foundation for the whole basis of the story. So, yeah, give it to me. I want it. I want it now. Nothing, of course, rumor-wise or anything, plot, nothing has been leaked on that one, which kind of makes me sad. What else was kind of popped in on there? There was Moon Knight, which I don't care. I really don't. It just Mark Spector is just the poor man's Batman. I mean, they've tried to rethink him so many different times and have failed miserably in every single attempt. There was a time where Moon Knight was cool, don't get me wrong, and he was kind of a fun character, especially when they were trying to do the Marvel Knights series back in the early aughts, and I was totally on board. And then it just went nowhere. It just fizzled. And it was sad, because I really wanted to see it go somewhere. Secret Invasion also holds a huge amount of potential, because we're going to get Talos and Nick Fury back from Captain Marvel, in addition to whatever Skrulls have been working their way or have infiltrated Earth. So I know it's not going to be as extravagant and as massive as the series was in the comics, and that's fine. We don't have the time for that kind of film, or we don't have the characters. Because, I mean, all of the characters that the Skrulls start impersonating, everyone starts guessing who is who, really, nothing's in place for that. We don't have the cinematic universe to pull that. That's basically an Avengers Endgame type of scenario. However, if you look at it from, like, Captain America Winter Soldier, where you can make it a total spy film, now you're talking. So this could be kind of fun, and if Fury's involved, I'm hoping, I'm praying, fingers crossed, that with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. defunct and gone, that we see some of those characters return. Because Quake in Secret Invasion would be actually an excellent idea. I think her character, Daisy, coming back, or they run into her out in space, because that's how it ended up with, you know, her flying off to parts unknown with her new, with Daniel from Agent Carter, which was so well thought out. I really like the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But to see, that would be a perfect way to bring her back into the fold. So I think that they really should consider that. In fact, I'm going to send them a note as soon as I get done talking here about what I think they should do. Because, you know, I carry a lot of weight. So that would be, I think, kind of amazing. And I'm excited to see, you know, Talos return. I did like the dynamic between Nick and him. We'll see how deep the Skrulls have gotten into Earth. So at least we know that there's people signed. There's a plan for that one. The other ones, I'm just kind of like, the Quantum Realm, which we know everyone's coming back for Ant-Man and Wasp, so everybody's, even Michelle Pfeiffer is coming back. So I'm, one of the best Marvel series, I think, is Ant-Man and Wasp. I think that it's a perfect balance in regards to how the characters interact and just what I expect as far as a good story. It's just kind of fun. So further exploring that, as we touched on it, would be absolutely right up Marvel's alley. I think that's another solid sell, in my opinion. And of course, like I said, Ironheart, which I think could lap over easily into Hawkeye, Black Panther, which there's still stuff up in the air. Blade, which I don't, I'm not sold on yet, because I'm still kind of, I think Wesley Snipes' Blade was as good as it's going to kind of be. I liked that, but of course with Blade coming in, it does open up the door for Midnight Suns, and just so much more for Ghost Rider and that aspect of it, especially with Doctor Strange. So it's kind of a toss-up for me on that one, but what else? Of course, Thor, Love and Thunder, we got hints, actually more than hints. The God Killer is going to be making an appearance in Love and Thunder, and it's going to be played by Christian Bale, which that's kind of a weird twist, but I don't know how. I mean, we know Christian Bale can play crazy, but how crazy is he going to be? I don't know. It's a very good question. There was also, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy. Who knows where we're going to go with that story. And there was one that I saw, which I don't really get, but I am Groot. It's got to be a kid's thing. Probably one of the Disney after-school specials or something that they're planning on. But we'll see. And of course, you know, Spider-Man is somewhere in that mix. Everybody under the sun is saying that they're going to be part of this. I mean, last week, of course, we talked about Doc Ock's return, and now everyone's talking about Charlie Cox, which we've talked about, and it's been the story since Far From Home ended. So I mean, this is like one of those, okay, nothing new to kind of report. Everyone's saying that we are going to see, well, I don't know. There was one fan source that I don't know if I really want to put a whole lot of faith in, but they're saying we're going to see the Sinister Six. I mean, we've got Morbius, who we've seen the trailer for, and we get Vulture back, and Michael Keaton makes an appearance in that, so that's cool, but then that's on the Sony side. So I don't know if we're going to see a reprisal of all the Sinister Six. Everyone's saying we're going to see Sandman and Green Goblin return from the previous Spider-Man films. So, and then, of course, right away, everyone starts jumping on board for Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, and we're just going to get one of those big Spider-Verse menagerie thrown together in a film, which it doesn't work. Guys, come on, think about it. When has this formula worked, with the exception of Avengers? And that took 10 years. 10 years to put together. I really wanted to go over the top with that because it's a quote from a film. I'll give you a special prize if you can tell me what film it is. But it's just 10 years. 10 years to put that together. So there's no way that that's going to work in just a single film. Too many villains. It's just too much. Some of them are established, at least we have kind of seen, and it takes a rather large leap of faith. I mean, Doc Ock I can kind of get behind and go with, but then when you start bringing in all the other characters, it just is, it's a bad Batman film. It really is. Or Spider-Man 3, or any other film that has had too many villains that just kind of show up, and they have like 2 minutes to explain their backstory in screen time, and then it's just one big mishmash ball of mush at the end of it. I just don't want to see that happen to the Spider-Man universe again. They're doing such a great job, an amazing job. See what I did there? But there's, just don't mess it up. Come on, guys, think about this. And I'm sure a lot of it, like I said, is rumors. And like I said, I don't know if I trust the fan that, you know, was telling me this story. And I'm like, I don't know. I think you're out on left field. But he's been right on a few other things that we've discussed. So I have to take it for what it is. It's a fan theory. But could it happen? Would they do it? Could they do it? I know. I'm sure they want to. They're probably looking at the royalties going, God, think of the figures we could produce. And this is also something that was kind of fun that I saw, speaking of Marvel, and then I'll move on, was Thomas Jane wants to direct John Bertinall's Punisher. He would love to take the opportunity to direct an episode or a movie or something involving John and the Punisher. Now, I always liked Thomas Jane's Punisher. I even liked the run that he did, because Thomas Jane, after he did the first film, wanted to do more. He even wrote for Marvel for a while to kind of get a better wraparound on the character, and even did like a short film called Dirty Laundry, which is a great short film. I really enjoyed it. I know I've shared it multiple times, and for what it is, it really tells a solid, quick little story for the Punisher that fits so well for that Punisher. But in the article that I read, Jane was just kind of like, you know, the Punisher that we delivered was a lot more watered down and less gritty than the Punisher that John portrays, which is absolutely true. And of course, at the time, everything was different from then to now. You know, Marvel was trying to maintain a certain, you know, not as in your face, and the Punisher is a dark character. And I know they wanted to go darker with Jane's Punisher than what they did. Of course, now we have like The Boys and our Punisher with John that is very dark and very gritty and so well put together. But Thomas Jane is, I think, just kind of like, you know, he's done a great job with The Expanse. I'm enjoying his interactions, and I think he's even directing a couple of the season 5 episodes. So, I mean, at least he's still kind of working and still creating, and I think him coming back as a Punisher would be fun. But even he's saying, you know, unless it's something the fans want, he's kind of closed the door on that. But he's always open to it. But I don't know. When you sit down as a fan, who played the better Punisher? Is a very good question. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. But let me know what your thoughts are, because I'm kind of torn on which way I would go on that. Because each one has kind of a different take, but they're both, I don't know, they're both really solid in my mind. So, on to Disney news. Before we get to Disney, holy shit. The Mandalorian, by far, has just, oh my God, blown my mind with how impressive and just, that's all I can say. I'm speechless. I'm absolutely just in heaven with The Mandalorian, and I'm pissed that we're coming up on the last episode for season 2, but excited. I can't wait to see what happens. Gogurt and trying to get him back from the Grand Moff, and I'm just the whole this week's episode. Real quick, this week's episode is by, again, to this point, one of my favorite. I mean, second favorite, because it's really hard to beat the Boba Fett episode when he comes back and just opens a can of whoop-ass on the stormtroopers. I mean, that is just awesome. Especially with the Sand People's graffiti stick. I mean, he just works that battalion. So good. And then I cried because they blew up the Razor Crest. I mean, we get Slave One. I understand. I would rather have Slave One than the Razor Crest, but you blow up the Razor Crest. I like that. Now I have to blow up my Lego Razor Crest. Anyway, but the whole scene and it, how they build Mandalorian, what I really love the most about it is there's subtle hints in building, but there's not a whole lot of fluff. It's straight to the point, in your face storytelling, and you kind of have to pay attention. You really can't half-ass it. It's not one of those shows, I mean, later down the road, as you've watched it probably 3 or 4 times like me, you could have it on in the background and just kind of, you know, have it going. But I really think that's hard to do, because it's just so intense and it has a way of pulling you in. And there's and nothing like solidifies my point more than the episode this week where they're sitting in the mess hall and Mando takes off his helmet, and the acting job that Pascal does is just inspiring. I mean, you see him, like, his character absolutely not only, I mean, physically changed. Yeah, he took his helmet off. But the mannerisms and how he acted was very, I mean, you could feel just his awkwardness. You could see his insecurities. Without the helmet, he completely took on an entirely different persona. Just his facial expressions, how he even shifted, like he's still wearing the helmet, but, you know, he's without it. It was absolutely just, it's the subtleties that really just sell it, especially when, you know, Bill Burr is just going tyrannical. I mean, he is a T-Rex, baby. He's ready to just pounce over the table and take out this captain and just call it a day. And the looks, even Mando just kind of sitting there shaking his head like, no, don't do this, is just perfect. The whole scene, the intensity of it is just, it is flawless. It is flawlessly executed. And then, of course, the mannerisms change immediately once the helmet goes back on. The Mando that we know is immediately front and center. The confidence, the directing, all of it. Instead of before where he, you know, he's stammering, he can't talk. He's just completely out of his depth. And it just drives home how much how good of an actor Pascal is, but just the dependency that Mando has on the helmet and the armor and all of it. It really, really was such a stellar job. So we'll see what happens. We get the final episode this week, and no spoilers from me anyway, but as soon as the episode airs, just watch it as soon as you can, because everybody is going to be jumping on the spoiler bandwagon to talk about their favorite moments. I get it. I understand. But just so good. So with that in mind, Disney drops their bombs as far as what's going to happen with the films, or at least the Star Wars universe. And a couple of them are really, really impressive. And a couple of them I'm kind of scratching my head on. Of course, the big one, Ahsoka. No surprise. I'm upset that she won't be more of a regular. Maybe she will in the Mando series, which I think would be kind of fun. But with Ahsoka getting her own series, maybe we'll find out for what happens at the end of Rebels and her going after Ezra. And are we going to get that story or her hunt for Grand Admiral Thrawn? And how that figures into it. And there's so many avenues that this can go. Really, really, oh, it's really cool. Love the Jedi stories. Absolutely. We couldn't do this without the Jedi stories. And that said, Obi-Wan. So here's the gist of the Obi-Wan story. So it's 10 years after Return of the Jedi, but it's 9 years before New Hope. And it picks up just, it's a 6-episode series that's going to be on Disney Plus that kind of fill in the holes with Obi-Wan, with the what's going on with the Galactic Empire, all of that. So, and Ewan McGregor, of course, is coming back to play Obi-Wan. I'm an anxious little child right now, waiting just to get me something. I just want to see a clip. I just want to see a costume. I just want to see Obi-Wan robed up with a lightsaber, whooping somebody's ass. That's all I want. I know Darth Maul has nothing to do with it, because we do see the final arc in that story. If you've never watched Obi-Wan face off against Darth Maul on the animated side, so worth it. It is completely different Obi-Wan than we're used to. But the big softball serve idea on this one, of course, is Hayden Christensen coming back to be Darth Vader. So Anakin slash Darth Vader is in the Obi-Wan series. So I don't know how that works out. And there's a lot of holes when you think about the conversation Ben has with Luke in New Hope. And even the conversation that Vader and Obi-Wan have, where, you know, he's all like, last time we met, you were the master and I was the student. Yes, that could be all the way back to the Revenge of the Sith. It could have been another confrontation. There could have been a lot of things that leave that really ambiguous. And, of course, they've never crossed paths in any of the animated series stories or anything like that. So it really is an uncharted kind of gray area to fill in, kind of like how Rogue Squadron did. And that, you know, worked perfectly. It was the best Star Wars film and idea Star Wars had at that point, until, of course, Mandalorian, and it even blew Rise of Skywalker completely out of the water, in my opinion, as far as the story. Now, that brings me to Star Wars Rogue Squadron. Now, Rogue Squadron, a lot of people get this confused and they're not exactly sure what to think of it. Rogue Squadron officially doesn't really show up until Empire. It's Luke's team of X-Wing pilots with Wedge in the team. And of course, Luke ends up splitting off and doing his own thing, but Wedge stays in charge of Rogue One. There's been video games, there's been a multiple comic book series revolving around Rogue Squadron. Excuse me, I said Rogue One. I know, I apologize. Rogue Squadron. So the whole preface, just the whole idea of this story is really, really enticing. I mean, the whole where, who, what are we getting? Wedge? I mean, because there's so many Wedge stories that could be told that we haven't even scratched the surface. Of course, Wedge now is, you know, an older guy, but we've never really seen Wedge outside of the cockpit. I mean, it's at the end of, like, Jedi that we finally see him, you know, kind of like partying with everybody, and we get a taste of him in Rise of Skywalker. But for all intents and purposes, Wedge has just been there. So if this expands on his story and the whole Rogue Squadron and the creation of it, I'm all in for that. That would be an absolute sell, in my opinion. Of course, I'm sure they're going to make the attachment that Luke got Rogue Squadron from Rogue One, and that's how he did the whole, you know, everything. And that's fine. I think that's absolutely plausible and total worthy fan service. I think that's absolutely plays perfectly into what they're trying to build. There's the connection, but let's expand on it. Just like they have with Mandalorian, they've shown that the formula works. It's just you have to pay attention. So Rogue Squadron, absolutely, I think, will be a sell. Now, the ones that I'm kind of like on the fence, Rangers of the New Republic seems rather vague, in my opinion, and maybe it's the new, you know, arc going into after Rise of Skywalker. What's in the new continuing story? Good question. Who knows? But, you know, this could be it. This could also be something that was going on during, you know, the Rebels days, and they're a bunch of rebels, and I don't know. It just seems kind of like an ambiguous title. And then, of course, you've got Andor, which, I don't know. Sure, whatever. Lando is enticing, but I'm not sure how they're going to approach this. If it's Glover reprising his role, Donald Glover reprising his role as Lando from the Solo films, absolutely. That would be kind of fun. Another at least little standalone that kind of fills in some more of the timeline and gives us a deeper dive into Lando's character, and maybe even explain how he ended up with Cloud City over in Bespin. I don't know if Billy Dee Williams has got another Lando in him, you know, unless it's like Lando on his deathbed telling people stories of back in my day. So, or, you know, it's just Billy D sitting at a console for most of it. I don't know. But I think Billy D's days are a little behind him. He's looking a little rough, even for Rise of Skywalker. As much as it was cool to see him, he still seemed like he was kind of... He's having a little difficulty getting around, so I don't see a big thing on that one. Of course, A Droid Story, this is coming under the Disney Plus banner, and I'm confused. I don't know if this is going to be a kids thing or a new animated or a live action. I'm hoping it's not going to be live action, because if it is, that's just an expensive show with a lot of CGI and special effects. And what a droid story? I mean, it would probably be fun and cute and just kind of like one of those little whimsy type of things to watch, but it's got to be kid focused, so that's fine. Also on Disney Plus, The Acolyte, which I have a feeling, just given the title and how they decided to color it, has something to do with the Sith. We'll see. Visions is probably going to be the same thing as like Marvel Visions, where it's clips or a storytelling string of best clips and best moments from the series and films, and kind of breaks down the story in a chronological order. So that'd be kind of fun. I'm curious to see if that is what that is. But like I said, there's so many theories, there's so many like rumors and everything floating around, because, you know, they come out, they lay this bomb out there, everyone gets excited, and they're doing exactly what Disney's doing, exactly what they want and they need the fans to do, is to talk about it, to pump it up. Now everyone is just chomping at the bit to see, well, what's coming out first? I think it's this, I think it's that, and building the hype around it. This is very intelligent marketing. This is some grade A fan loving. This is what comic book stores were built on. This is afternoon. This is Wednesday afternoon in a comic shop, where we talk about characters. What if this? What if that? I read this. I saw that. This is exactly what a Wednesday used to be in a comic book shop for me. So it works well, and I applaud Disney. Well done, well done, sir. Mouse. Damn you, Mouse. Damn the Mouse. There were a couple of other things that caught my eye, not only just with the Disney thing, which, let's face it, was probably one of the bigger news things to hit this week. There are a couple other things, and I'll touch on those right now. One, in fact, when Brett Leader 1 and I were watching Mando this week and Discovery, the artwork at the end of Mando is always just like one of those things that I'm absolutely focused in on. I really, really, really love some of that art. Some of it I want to pick up for my own collection, and maybe even replace a couple of other existing pieces that I have up to kind of just update some of the Star Wars stuff. So if you're like me and you're looking at that, there's some good news for Star Wars fans to celebrate as far as picking up exclusive prints from illustrators, painters. Lucasfilm has decided that the Star Wars Celebration 2020 art show is going to go on. StarWars.com. Wow, I really should drink more coffee. StarWars.com is thrilled to reveal an entire slate coming next week, or this week actually, a widely diverse offering of technique and style and collections ranging from all sorts of like Empire's era, Ahsoka, there's everything. So the Star Wars Celebration 2020 art show is going to start streaming today at 12 p.m. You can go to darkinkart.com for the check it out, or you can just go to StarWars.com. I know it's already running. It started on the 15th, which is today, and I don't know how long this is going to run. I don't know what all is going to be offered. And maybe we will see some of the art from The Mandalorian. But, you know, a lot of different pieces from different parts of the Star Wars universe and different artists and media types. I really, really, really want some art. I'll try and put a link to below, because the link I have was like the sneak peek. So I don't know with it being live if the sneak peek is still functioning as far as a link, but I will throw it in there for you just in case you want to check it out. Or just as you're listening to me talk right now, go over to StarWars.com and see what the 2020 Art Celebration has left and what's in stock. I'm sure there's a lot of prints and everything still available, but I mean, I don't see them actually selling off originals on this. I could be wrong, but that would just seem like a really, really big dollar item. Big ticket item. What else? So it's been a while since we've actually reported on Game of Thrones, but this was just recently announced, the prequel series, which I completely wrote off. I think everyone was so pissed off at the end of Game of Thrones that no one just really cared. But the prequel series is still happening, and in fact, they named Matt Smith as Prince Daemon Targaryen. So he is the younger brother and heir to the throne. So I don't know how many episodes he makes it before he gets killed, but since he's an heir to the throne, that means, you know, that means he's probably not long for this earth and gets taken out probably within the first season. Just saying. I know I don't want to hear that either, but just kind of it's kind of the precursor that Game of Thrones has set. With it being the prequels, they can pretty much will do whatever. They're not tied to any kind of book. Not that it really seemed to matter. But, you know, it's fine. I'm still going to watch it. Also in Doctor Who news, which kind of caught my eye, was Christopher Eccleston is doing a big finish production for his Doctor. The Ninth Doctor returns in one of those, which I am surprised, because I know, and Christopher Eccleston posted up a picture on his Instagram with him holding the script, so he's absolutely coming back as the Doctor, which I know he's always kind of said no, he wouldn't do, or he just doesn't, he wouldn't understand where his Doctor would fit back in, just because it was such a specific span for his Doctor and how that all fit into the timeline. But it's time. Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey, you can fit him in anywhere. I just don't think Eccleston is interested, to be honest with you, and he just kind of makes that excuse. But him doing a big finished production is kind of, I'm curious. As soon as it comes available for pre-order, I probably will order that. I already pre-ordered the Time Lord Victorious books that are available on Amazon, so check those out. Worth reading. The comics and the live animation, or live animation, the live action stuff and the Daleks cartoon that's on YouTube has been entertaining. It's been weird. It's just so much to process. Really, really is. And I'm thinking I've got holes because I haven't like read everything or have watched everything or have listened to everything. So it's just kind of, there's hits and misses on it for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's been some good stuff, there's been some bad stuff, just like any story, but maybe too big of an undertaking, and getting access and to all of it, I don't know. I'm waiting to just kind of read the two books. The comic series have been fun, but I don't know. Like I said, I'm reserving judgment. I have ideas, things I would have done, but you're not interested in that, are you? As I get more information and complete my thought on all of this, I will be sure letting you know. What else? In comic book news, I really kind of shake my head on this because I don't get it, but then maybe this isn't just for me, but DC is giving the Joker an ongoing series. The title reads, DC's Clown Prince of Crime tries to be the Clown Prince of the sales charts when his new ongoing series, The Joker, debuts in March. DC will launch a new monthly Joker ongoing series, giving the publisher's new post-future state lineup a jolt of the unexpected and perhaps some insights on the question of who is the second most popular character in comic book. Here's my thought, and maybe I'm wrong thinking this, but I know right away, as soon as you get a popular villain or, you know, a character that everybody loves, you want to see more stories with him. I get that. But what does a series around the Joker even look like? So I'm just kind of sitting here scratching my head, and especially with the new future state and all of that that's landing in March from DC, and everything's still up in the air with AT&T owning them, and how many titles will we have, and who, and what, and I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty when you're dealing with DC right now. It doesn't set well with me, and especially when I was looking at who's doing the story. It is James Tynion of the Fourth, who basically did the story for Joker War, which I wasn't really... I really wasn't in on. I didn't like the story. We could have gotten to the end of Joker War a lot quicker, especially with the resolution that we got and how the story went. I'm not really sold on this whole idea. I think it's just a bad idea all around. I think they're just trying to exploit the Joker. And when you do something like this, you have a tendency of just watering down the character. You start putting him in a different light, and you take away the impact the character has. Because we know when the Joker shows up, shit's going to happen. And that's the expectation. So to give him his own monthly title just seems to sabotage that the whole lethal side of the Joker. Because, I mean, they're not going to make a comic book of him just going around randomly smoking people, which, you know, you expect in the Batman comic. You're picking up the comic as far as to read what the story is going to be. Of course, in the backup story for the Joker is going to be Punchline, which, I mean, I think we've kind of got her story. So unless this is some form of continuation of her being locked up in Blackgate Prison, or, you know, kind of continuing that story, which, okay, fine, but now we're kind of impeding into Harley territory. So I'm all for character growth, and I'm all for expanding the DC universe, but let's just be clever about it. Let's think this through. And I really think this feels like a shoot from the hip kind of response to what's going on from AT&T and everything else. Because I don't get it. And like I said, maybe it's just not for me, but I don't think giving the Joker his own series is the best idea and doesn't make sense. I mean, there are certain villains that I could see and have in the past carried on a title. Sinestro is like the first one that springs to mind, but then again, there was purpose, there was drive, and there was a reason to the story. Joker is all the clown prince of crime. So, I mean, is he just going to be held up in a warehouse dictating orders to people to go and ransack, pillage, plunder, and otherwise burn shit to the ground? I don't know. I'm not 100% behind this. Will I read it? Maybe. I mean, I'm sure I'll pick up the first issue. And you could probably sign up right now at your local comic book shop to get it on your pull list, which I would recommend. I have a feeling this will be a hot book, but probably for all the wrong reasons. It's definitely not going to be for the story unless, I don't know, I'm surprised. Unless I'm really surprised and off base. And maybe that is the case. Maybe I am off base on this. But from my experience, this can do more harm than good. And, oh well. Just a side thought. Not to be a Debbie Downer. Not to rain on your parade. There are plenty of other good stories out there to be reading right now. So get to it. What else? Oh my God. Speaking of getting to... and I apologize in advance, but if you bought Cyberpunk 2077, I am sorry. This thing is glitchy, full of bugs, and otherwise just falling apart. They rushed this to market way too fast that even, like, the characteristics of people's faces aren't even completely rendered. This is just horrendous. I feel bad for people that bought this game with the hopes of something that kind of like tied them over in a huge epic that would carry them through the remainder of the year into the, you know, next quarter and just kind of fun. But there are some platforms that won't even play it, like I guess old gen consoles, like not the new one, but like Xbox and all of that are just seizing up on it. So. A huge patch is definitely needed for this game, and yikes. Then when I see stuff like this, it just kind of hurts. It hurts because you don't want games to fail, and we expect when, you know, a game producer comes to market that they have a functioning, finished product, not a glitchy, buggy-filled one. I mean, I know EA kind of has been, you know, the trailblazer in this area where, you know, they bring something out that's not exactly done, kind of got a few bugs. I'm looking at some of the Star Wars titles that they've produced, and you're just like, okay. I mean, Force Unleashed 2 was just entirely too short. Like, it was an unfinished game, but they put out what they had and just called it a day. So that's fine, but at least it was finished. And even though it was incredibly short, it worked. So this is robbery. This is just robbery. There has been no indication as far as when the next patch or when a patch is coming. So I feel for you, my fellow gamers. I hope that something is on the horizon for you, because this is just unacceptable. Because I'm reading, like, people on the forums what they've had to say about it, and just yikes. Yeah, so maybe it's the day to just stay in your mobile games, because I've been, like, in love with, well, Marvel Contest of Champions has definitely given me some headaches. It's constantly dropping and seizing up on me. So, I mean, I don't know if it's just everyone's having trouble with the internet or what the hell's going on, but yeah. Anyway, what else? I know that's not a lot, but it is. So what, yeah, just looking over the brief stuff that is flying across my desk now, nothing that is really solid. And some opinion-filled stuff, which I am overflowing of opinion that I've given you enough. And we're about at an hour anyway, so, yeah, that's a lot to take for Star Wars. It's just Star Wars Marvel podcast. There you go. Just to focus all in all on that. Yeah, so we will be back. I will be back next week with the latest in geek news. If you have any comments, questions, with all of what I laid on you, please, by all means, put it in the comments. Send me a direct message. Like us. Share us. Thank you so much for everything that you do in listening, and I will see you next week. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.